Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear listeners, once again it's time for the short story competition here on Radio Islam International. Today's contestant, Sister Fatima Ismail of Lanesha in Johannesburg. The topic, the antiquated maiden. I was rapidly approaching the expiration of my shelf life as the last of the unmarried teenage girls in a little village in India. I was yet to assume my role as devoted wife and mother and go about the humdrum of daily life in Rambia. Had India not made its mark on the map of the world, our village would be an undiscovered planet of archaic beings within the larger planet of Earth. That was the way I saw it, at least. At the ripe age of 18, I had somehow managed to evade the clutches of a syndicate of elderly folk with a track record of a whopping 100% successful matches to date. As folklore would have it, by the time a girl had approached 14, a suitable companion was sought from among the village lads, no younger than 5 years her senior. Once an appropriate selection was made, the future bride was to undergo intense training before she was deemed fit and ready to meet the approval of her soon-to-be mother-in-law. It was almost as if a memorandum of Rambian living for women were to be studied, memorized, and executed before the stamp of approval was given, albeit the 21st century. Rambian lifestyle was a far cry from the societal norms of mainland India, let alone the extended modern world. The bucket system is a simple example of our backward existence. You can only imagine my jaw-dropping moment when I later came across a toilet with a cistern. I must say that although at that point in my life I had never been exposed to contemporary living on any level, I always had an unflagging curiosity about life beyond Rambian borders. Our work in the grain fields left me with hours to try and push my imagination beyond the boundaries of my then reality. Surely, there was more to it than this. I could not understand how every woman around me went about the day with not so much as a grimace of discontent at the routine, a lack of challenge and submission to the orders given by their husbands. It felt so unnatural that a girl on the brink of womanhood be thrusted into this mundane lifestyle. How could it be that just as a girl's body began understanding curious physical transformations, the growth of a mind was to be stunted by this insipid way of being? I could never see myself being a Rambian bride. Nothing out of the ordinary ever happened in our village. Marriage was followed by children, and thereafter grandchildren. And so it would continue with this blueprinted lifestyle, passing from generation through to generation. It was only after my life-changing journey that I had discovered that nothing the world had to offer could amount to the contentment found among the village folk in Rambia. For now, I had remained under the marriage radar. I could not have imagined that I was about to embark on a journey that would lead me into uncharted territory of both mind and body. All eligible lads had been promised, but destiny was at my doorstep and my luck was about to run out. The Abid family had arrived in Rambia. A family of four, their arrival enveloped in mystery. Rumor had it that Mr. Abid was framed for a foiled embezzlement of funds from a bank in England. He was able to escape an eviction by evading the authorities using underground connections. As far as we knew, the assistance came at the expense of most of his savings, his job, and his chain of street vending kiosks in London. He had a son by the name of Salim, a motivated entrepreneur who had contributed much to Mr. Abid's business success. Despite Salim's sinful good looks and alluring smile, he had remained a bachelor. All it took was an afternoon with the unflinching matchmakers to secure my hand in marriage to him. A chance for me to wed, yet more importantly, a chance to save the family name. There was no time for me to wrap my head around the idea of marriage to a strange man 12 years my senior. More importantly, if I were to agree to this marriage, it would signify my acceptance of all that I had come to find objectionable and unsavory. It dawned upon me that the time had come for me to leave. It was time to satisfy my unquenchable thirst for the great unknown, the world beyond Rambian borders. It happened so fast, really. the big city lights, bright yellow taxis, an unfamiliar yet somewhat terrifying freedom in which these people live their day-to-day lives. I had made it to New York. For someone who was so sheltered, I surprised myself with the ease with which I had stolen, bribed, and pawned my way here, using all my family jewels and heirlooms I could get my hands on. As daylight began fading, I grew anxious about where I would spend the night. I am not sure whether it was the anxiety that I could not hide, or my oddly covered getup that made me stick out like a sore thumb. Either way, I had caught the interest of a girl sipping coffee at a restaurant across the station. She offered me a bed for the night. Two nights turned into a week, followed by an open invitation for as long as it would take me to get back onto my feet. As a Muslim girl in a Western community, living among people with no fear of a divine being, I had begun to let go. I became forgetful of all the years of teachings from my parents and elders. It was becoming easier to behave as if there were no greater being watching every sinful move, hearing every shameful thought, and witnessing every forbidden intoxicant entering this body that he had entrusted to me. A girl who previously would not so much as show a strand of hair to a non-mahram would now not even bat an eyelid to share a bathroom with a half-clad strange man. A girl who was made to leave a room filled with older men had now become the center of their entertainment for the night. One evening, upon my return from a nightclub, I was so out of my senses that I was shamelessly violated in a quiet alley. It took this irreversible incident, the rock bottom as we call it, to make me realize what my life had come to. This was not life, this was hell. This was everything that my parents and grandparents had spent 18 years preaching about and warning against. All their efforts undone in exchange for 2 months of freedom. To what end? Just to satisfy a craving for life, I did not know, but I let go of all reservation to experience. By the time I had made it back to Rambia, it was too late. Daddy had passed away. I had later learned that it wasn't so much the shame that had killed him, but more that he felt like he had failed me. Perhaps if his death was caused by his inability to save face in the community, it would have been easier. To know now and to live with the fact that I will never be able to take back his pain or tell him that it was not him, it was me, was something I had to learn to accept. 10 years have passed with 3 children, an understanding and devoted husband named Salim by my side. I have finally managed to move past what I had done. Not completely, never completely, but with faith as my foundation and a love for the perfection in the way of Islam, I am able to move forward. I now understand the beauty of hijab, the protective covering for the precious pearl Islam has given to the status of women. I now understand and see the barakah in my life through the service of my mother and grandparents. At the end, not a day goes by, never a moment where my heart does not bleed for a lost moment to beg for forgiveness from my father. Nevertheless, I hold on to the teachings of the Quran and the consolation it provides in assuring me that I should never despair in the mercy of my Lord. For all the sleepless nights that I had caused, for every step that I had taken through the whispers of Shaitan, I always hold on to the promise of my Allah that verily He is most forgiving, most merciful.
بعزمك أمة تبنى فطبت وطاب مبنى.